Let's pray together. Our Father, now we again ask that you would look upon our need, that you would send the Spirit. We know that the wind blows where it wills, and we are asking for the Spirit who is sovereign God. We have no ability to command him, but we plead with you and plead your promises. O our Father, you are more gracious than an earthly father, and we ask for your Spirit. We pray that you would grant him unto us in Jesus' name. Amen. Our subject is Bezalel, Oholiab, and me. Bezalel, Oholiab, and me. Now, I'm intensely curious as to how many of you know who Bezalel is, or even in which book of the Bible you would find the story of Bezalel. Okay, well, so it'll be new. Turn, please, to the book of Exodus. And we'll start in chapter 25. Bezalel, Oholiab, and me. The roles and relevance of Bezalel and Oholiab for the Christian today. We begin with instructions on the mountain. Chapter 25, verse 1 through chapter 31, 17 of the book of Exodus. Find Moses on the mountain, Mount Sinai, receiving instructions. In verse 18 of chapter 24, Moses enters the midst of the cloud that surrounds the mountain as he goes up to the mountain. And Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. Chapter 25, verse 1, God speaks to Moses as he is on the mountain. And as he speaks, the next 6.5 chapters will be principally detailed instructions for the construction of the tabernacle and its furnishings, the various pieces of furniture and various garments that will be worn in the service of the tabernacle. Very detailed. Read it this afternoon a bit. This long, this high, put it there, make it of this, make it of that. Lots of specifics. But the detailed instructions begin, chapter 25, verse 1, with God saying to Moses, verse 2, tell the sons of Israel to raise a contribution for me from every man whose heart moves him. You shall raise my contribution, and this is the contribution which you are to raise from them, gold, silver, and bronze. And he goes on and asks for certain materials to be given. Important principle. Materials are necessary from which to construct the tabernacle and its furnishings. And God tells Moses to ask the people to give to God these materials for the tabernacle and its furnishings. Interesting what he says. This contribution is to be from every man whose heart moves him. Giving to God must be voluntary, not forced, not coerced, not dragged out of you, even by pleadings and pushings of an eloquent man on TV. Giving to God must be voluntary. Even as it says in 2 Corinthians 9:7, let each one do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Or as it says in Exodus, from every man whose heart moves him, those are the ones that are to give. God's grace will prompt men to give, and men will then give their most costly treasures gladly to God. Well, there is this listing of what the gifts are to be, verses 3 through 7, then verse 8. The purpose of all this is to let them construct a sanctuary for me. That's the tabernacle, this holy dwelling place, that I may dwell among them. There it is. There's the point. I mean, you're going to have 6.5 chapters of talking about things and dimensions and places and specifics, but verse 8 tells you what it's all about, that I, the living God, may dwell among them. All this stuff that you are to give and all these directions as to how it's to be constructed are to make a place so that God Himself may come and dwell in the midst of His people. The tabernacle will exist because God's aim and God's purpose is to live in the midst of His people. So often, we get hung up on the details and the trees, and we miss the forest and the point of it all. God desired to live and dwell in the midst of His people. And of course, the dwelling for God must be right. And so He gets into specifics. But the point is that God would dwell among His people. Not so different from the New Testament, is it? We don't have a tabernacle with dimensions and all of that physically, but we have God's people where He dwells in the midst of us today. And then verse 9, another important principle. According to all that I am going to show you as the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furniture, just so you shall construct it. Now, Moses, I'm going to give you a lot of details. I'm going to give you the pattern. This long, this high, this deep, these materials, this design. And I need you to construct it exactly as I am going to tell you. Just so you shall construct it. That's why he takes 6.5 chapters to give you the specifics, because he wants Moses' obedience to be very accurate and specific according to the pattern. God has a master plan for his worship, for his tabernacle in the Old Testament and its furnishings. And Moses is to observe and obey this plan. Now, this is so important that when the tabernacle is referred to in the book of Hebrews, chapter 8 and verse 5, and it goes, and the writer to the Hebrews goes through it piece by piece and explains something of the main point of the significance of the tabernacle and its furnishings, he refers to this command in which Moses was said, make it exactly according to the pattern. Observing God's plan for worship, His master plan for worship both then and in the church today, is extremely important because God has things to teach us by the specifics and the details in which He channels us as we worship Him. Well, then in the next several chapters, God speaks to Moses and gives him all of these specifics about the tabernacle and its furnishings. And then in chapter 31 in verse 1, after we've had the instructions for the tabernacle and its furnishings, the Lord Jehovah speaks to Moses about who will carry out all these instructions and build the tabernacle and its furnishings. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all kinds of craftsmanship to make artistic designs for work in gold and silver and in bronze and in the cutting of stones for settings than in the carving of wood, that he may work in all kinds of craftsmanship. And behold, I myself have appointed with him Oholiab, the son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan, and in the hearts of all who are skillful, I have put skill, that they may make all that I have commanded you, the tent of meeting, and the ark of testimony, and the mercy seat upon it, and all the furniture of the tent, the table also, and its utensils, and the pure gold lampstand with all its utensils, and the altar of incense, the altar of burnt offering also with all its utensils, and the laver and its stand, the woven garments as well, and the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons with which to carry on their priesthood, the anointing oil also, and the fragrant incense for the holy place. They are to make them according to all that I have commanded you. So God says, see, I have called my servant Bezalel. I have called him by name. And here is the specific, personal, individual call of Bezalel to the service of God. God has a purpose for Bezalel to perform in God's program. He has a role for him to play. In God's plan for his people, there is, right over here, on the right, there is a Bezalel-shaped hole in God's plan. Only Bezalel can fill this hole. I have called by name Bezalel. He is the son of Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur of the tribe of Judah. Bezalel is God's man. God has called Moses and Aaron to lead the people. And for 40 plus years, they bring them out of Egypt and lead them through the wilderness. Very gifted and godly men. But God does not purpose for Moses and Aaron to build the tabernacle. God had gifted Moses to lead the nation, but this is not the same work as building the tabernacle. For this unique and important task, God has a different man, Bezalel. Bezalel is the man, and God selected the genetic material for Bezalel's chromosomes, the defining genes that would make him who he was to become. God picked his parents, Uri and Mrs. Uri, who would train him and raise him in an environment that would mold him into the man that God wanted for this task. God made him exactly what he designed him to be, and then God called him by name for this important task. God always uses people to accomplish his purposes in this world. Imperfect, sinful people. Now, how can God accomplish holy purposes through imperfect and sinful people? But that's what he does. John 1:6, there came a man sent from God whose name was John. And here is a man formed by God for his purpose. Bezalel, verse 3 of chapter 31, and I have filled him with the Spirit of God, in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge, and in all kinds of craftsmanship. God granted his Holy Spirit to Bezalel to enable him, to empower him, to encourage him, and to equip him for the task that God had readied for him. How many times do you hear about the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament? Well, here it is. God gives his Spirit to Bezalel. God did not call him to a task without enabling him to do it. I've called him by name, and I've filled him with my Holy Spirit. By the way, you may feel powerless or fearful to do what God's Word declares to be your duty. You know what? It is good to feel small and to feel weak and to feel needy, because that humbles you, that sets you to prayer, It causes you to cry out for wisdom and strength, and that alone helps you to grow in faith. But realize that this is the role of the Holy Spirit to enable you to do what God calls you to do. You feel inadequate? Good. You feel powerless? Perfect. That's exactly how you should feel. God calls you, but He fills you with His Holy Spirit if you are His own, if you're His sons and daughters. He fills you with His Spirit and wisdom and understanding and knowledge. You don't know what to do? That's why He gives His Spirit to you. To help you to know. Well, back to Bezalel. We see God giving His Spirit in the Old Testament to men for various special purposes. Let's take a time out and look at them for just one second. Numbers chapter 11. Numbers 11. Verses 24 and 25. So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord. Also he gathered 70 men of the elders of the people, stationed them around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to him, and he took of the Spirit who was upon him, that is on Moses, and placed him on the 70 elders. And it came about when the Spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but they did not do it again. What did we just read? We read that Moses was endued with the Holy Spirit of God that enabled him to govern. And this Spirit in turn was shared with the 70 elders who would help him with the burden of administration and rule among God's redeemed people. Or Daniel chapter 4. Daniel 4. Verses 8 and 9. Here Nebuchadnezzar is speaking in this great proclamation, and he says, but Daniel 4, 8 and 9. But finally, Daniel came in before me, whose name is Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is a spirit of the holy gods. And I related the dream to him, saying, O Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, since I know there is a spirit of the holy gods in you, and no mystery baffles you, tell me the visions of my dream, which I have seen, along with its interpretation. Nebuchadnezzar, the secular king, recognized that the Holy Spirit of God dwelt in Daniel, giving him unusual wisdom and understanding. Same theme again, right? We saw that with Moses. We see that with Daniel. We see that with Bezalel. The Holy Spirit dwells and gives unusual wisdom and understanding and enabling to perform the task to which God has called them. We could read the same of Joseph, Genesis 41:38, but we will not turn there. Moses, Daniel, and Joseph were great men in the Old Testament, great leaders of God's people, men of unusual wisdom and understanding. And here God gives this same Holy Spirit who has enabled them to perform their tasks of high-profile leadership. The Spirit is given to Bezalel so that he will have wisdom, understanding, knowledge, and craftsmanship for the task to which God has called him. Back to Exodus 31. In verse 4, now get the flow of the sentence here. Verse 3, I have filled him with the Spirit of God and wisdom, understanding, etc. to make. I have filled Bezalel with the Holy Spirit of God so that he will have unusual wisdom and understanding, all for the purpose that he can make. God's task for Bezalel was not to lead or to govern, but it was to make the tabernacle and its furnishings, which would be pictures to help people understand God and His presence among them. Well, this was exactly the kind of guy Bezalel was. He was a maker. He was a craftsman. He was a hands-on creative man. He loved to do things with his hands, to make things. God's calling fitted him to a T. It was exactly what he'd always wanted to be. When Bezalel was little, he spent hours and days with his Legos, building and making things with his hands. Very creative and ingenious things, even as a child. He was not much into competitive sports. He never lit any fires with his grades in school, but he was a genius with his hands. The man that God called to make is the man who all his life had demonstrated special aptitude for and enjoyment in making. God's callings and God's special giftings are always in harmony with who we are and what our natural gifts and abilities are. I've filled him with the Holy Spirit of God to make. To make, verse 4, artistic designs for work in gold and silver, in bronze, in the cutting of stones for settings, and the carving of wood, that he may work in all kinds of craftsmanship. He is to make artistic designs. We could translate it, he is to devise devices, or to think out inventions. Now, consider this with me. Although God has been scrupulous to tell Moses to construct everything according to pattern, we already spent a few minutes on that, there is still room left for individual creativity in fulfilling God's plan for the tabernacle and its furnishings. They are minutely described in Exodus 25:30, but there are no blueprints. Designs and plans are still needed to carry out the work. What will the incense altar actually look like? Will the surfaces be smooth, or will there be etchings and engravings on them? What will the corners look like? What will the supports look like? How will it be manufactured? How will it be constructed? You can see the latitude involved in design and construction if you were to look at books on the tabernacle and its furnishings, or go on the internet and try to find images or pictures of the various furnishings of the tabernacle. And with some, the brazen altar looks like this, and with others, the brazen altar looks like that, and with others, the incense altar looks like this, or like that, or the other. Such variety as men take the specific 6.5 chapters of instructions in the book of Exodus and try to say, now exactly what does that look like? There are widely varying artist conceptions, even while they try to reconstruct according to the biblical guidelines exactly. Oh, by the way, it's just like that in our families and churches today. God has strict guidelines for his worship, for many things in our families, but within those guidelines, he allows latitude and creativity. We tend to say, why doesn't that church over there live and worship exactly like we do? Well, it's not supposed to. This is God's plan. Strict guidelines, latitude within the guidelines, opportunity for men to make choices, to be creative, to take the initiative, all within the plan that God has given. Back to our more specific subject here. Verses 4 and 5, Bezalel is to make artistic designs for work in gold and silver and bronze, etc. Bezalel was gifted to work in all kinds of crafts. He was a sort of Renaissance man, well before there was a Renaissance, in all kinds of craftsmanship, metalworking, stoneworking, woodworking. Verse 6, and behold, I myself have appointed with him Oholiab, the son of Ahisamach, of the tribe of Dan. God called Bezalel God gave Bezalel his spirit, and now God gives Bezalel a friend and a helper, Aholiab. God didn't leave Bezalel to himself to tackle these many and demanding tasks, but he gave him a fellow worker, a confidant, an advisor, a friend. And hereafter in Exodus, when you read about Bezalel, generally, Aholiab is mentioned too. They were quite a team. I myself have appointed with him Aholiab. Now, Aholiab had unique gifts. Chapter 38 in verse 23. There's a bit of a list there. With him was Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan, an engraver and a skillful workman and a weaver in blue and in purple and in scarlet material and fine linen. So Bezalel wasn't so strong on weaving and engraving. That's why he needed Aholiab. He brought some skills to the team where Bezalel had deficiencies. Ecclesiastes 4:9, two are better than one. And God gives David a Jonathan. He gives Moses an Aaron. He gives Paul a Barnabas, later on a Silas, and a Timothy. And he gives Bezalel an Aholiab. Note what it says, verse 6. Behold, I myself have appointed with him Aholiab. God called Aholiab as much as he did Bezalel. I myself have appointed Aholiab. God himself has called Aholiab. But Aholiab's call was bound up with Bezalel's. I myself have appointed with him Aholiab. God did not call Aholiab, intending him to be the leader or the prime decision maker. God calls some of us to play a support role to someone else. Our gifts and callings are given to us to be played out with someone else. Perhaps your husband, perhaps a leader at work or at church. Your calling is a calling with someone else. Aholiab embraced his role. He played on the team, and together they won. He didn't crave the spotlight. He didn't have to be the star. Verse 6, see what comes next after Aholiab. And in the hearts of all who are skillful, I have put skill that they may make all that I have commanded you. In the hearts of all who are skillful, I have put the skill. God not only gave Aholiab to assist Bezalel, but he gave Bezalel a group of assistants. This becomes clearer in chapter 35. We'll be there in a moment. There was just too much work for any one or two men to do. So God provides exactly the right amount of workers. And God puts skill in their hearts. Note that all who are skillful or wise must attribute their skill or wisdom to God. No matter how gifted we are, our gifts are given by God, the giver. And no matter how much we improve upon our native abilities, we must recognize God as the giver. What do you have that you did not receive? Now, it's interesting, before we move on to our next section, interesting to note that the names of these craftsmen are preserved for history, like the names of the Hebrew midwives in Exodus 1:15, Shipra and Puah, two midwives in ancient Egypt of Israelite descent. And we know about them today. Why is that? And craftsmen making the tabernacle. Why so much time on Bezalel and Aholiab? Well, maybe because God is honoring the contributions of all kinds of people in his kingdom, unlike the kingdoms of this world. God knows it's not just the heroes and the celebrities. With God, there are no little people. God calls each of us, and each of us counts. Well, that is the instructions on the mountain. In the second place, as you move through Exodus here, you have historical events, Exodus 32 through 34. Normally, you'd really settle down and look at this, but our purposes call us to do something else. We have the idolatry of the people and the golden calf. We have Moses descending from the mountain. We have Moses' intercession for the people. We have Moses going back up to the mountain and staying there for 40 days. Stone tablets are given a second time. And Moses descends with his face shining as a result of God speaking with him. And so those are that is the historical interlude there. And then we move in the third place to Exodus 35 through 40, the execution of the instructions from the mountain. So first of all, we had the instructions. We had like seven chapters of those about the tabernacle and its furnishings. And now we have the execution of those instructions. Another six chapters. If you look at it, you see that the first six chapters are repeated in detail, often almost verbatim, from the earlier section, except that it is, they did, instead of, thou shalt. Go make this, and go make that. They made this, and they made that. For six chapters in detail. You say, why? Why? Because God said, make it all specifically according to pattern. And God cared about the details. And so as you read that, you may not read a chapter a day. You may read six chapters that day. But don't miss the point. God cares about the details. Worship according to pattern. Well, we have the execution of the instructions in this section. And though there's much duplication, there's a few things we need to focus on. Chapter 35 and verse 1, Moses assembled the congregation of the sons of Israel. So he comes back down from the mountain. And he says to them, these are the things which the Lord has commanded you to do. First, he talks about the Sabbath, verses 2 and 3. Then he moves on to talking about the giving to God of your goods, verses 4 through 9. This is the thing, verse 4, which the Lord has commanded, saying, take from among you a contribution to the Lord. Whoever is of a willing heart, there's that theme again, let him bring it as the Lord's contribution, gold, silver, bronze, and so on. So he's soliciting for the people to give to God of their goods. And then he solicits that they give to God of their service, verses 10 and following. And let every skillful man among you come and make all that the Lord has commanded, the tabernacle, etc. So he says, give to God, give from your heart. And they did. In fact, they gave so much that in chapter 36, verses 5 through 7, that Moses had to stop them from giving. We've got too much. Don't give any more. We can't use all this. So their hearts were impelling them in response to the message of God's grace to give. And Moses had to put the brakes on. No more trucks backing up. Take it back. Take it back. Keep it. And that's the spirit of Christian giving, isn't it? Well, chapter 35, verse 10, Moses appeals to all skillful men to come and volunteer their service. Now, this is before Bezalel and Aholiab have been specifically appointed. So undoubtedly, at this point, Bezalel and Aholiab come forward with many others. God only uses willing servants, though they're going to be appointed as leaders. They needed to volunteer first. So we should never wait to be asked. Well, then in verse 30, after there's more specifics about the giving and the materials that are given. Verse 30 of chapter 35, Moses said to the sons of Israel, "See, the Lord has called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah." And here we have 35:30 corresponds to what we read before, chapter 31, verses 1 and 2. Verse 31 here corresponds to verse 4 of chapter 31. The next two verses correspond to the following verses, and so on. And so this section is very much like what we already read, except it's "he did" instead of "thou shalt." But note at the end of verse 34, we do have a bit of an addition here. "He is also put in his heart to teach, both he and Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach of the tribe of Dan." The abilities of Bezalel, not only to do and to make, but to teach, are highlighted. They were highly skilled craftsmen, but they were also able to lead the team because they had been given the ability to communicate clearly the tasks, the skills, and the plan to the team. Chapter 36 and verse 1. "Now Bezalel and Aholiab and every skillful person in whom the Lord has put skill and understanding to know how to perform all the work in the construction of the sanctuary shall perform in accordance with all that the Lord has commanded." So Moses is basically saying, go for it. Now they shall perform. That's Hebrew for open the doors and go for it. In verses 2 and 3, Moses calls them, for they are willing workers, not just willing givers. And then in verses 8 and following, the work begins. Now, I'd like to draw your attention to something that happens again and again throughout the remaining chapters of this book. Maybe it's most clearly seen in chapter 39. Verse 2, "And he," and that's Bezalel, "made the ephod of gold and of blue, of purple and scarlet material and fine twisted linen. Then they hammered out the gold sheets and cut them into threads to be woven in, etc." Verse 4, "They made attaching shoulder pieces for the ephod, etc." Verse 6, "And they made the onyx stones, etc." Verse 7, "And he placed them on the shoulder pieces of the ephod." Who's he? Bezalel. Who's they? Aholiab and all the assistants. Go back to chapter 36. Verse 8, "All the skillful men among those were performing the work." But at the end of the verse, it says Bezalel made the curtains. Verse 10, "And he joined the curtains. And the other five curtains he joined to one another." Verse 11, "And he made loops of blue." Verse 12, "He made 50 loops," etc., etc. Let your eyes fall down through the following verses. He did this, he made that, he joined this, he fixed that. It's Bezalel. Well, so are you saying that Bezalel did the whole thing? I don't think so. Way too much work, or way too many curtains for Bezalel to make them all. Now, Bezalel is the leader, but he does not personally make every object in the tabernacle with his own hands. But all that is credited to Bezalel in these chapters is done by him and his team, kind of like Nehemiah and the rebuilding of the walls. The guy was everywhere. He was down here helping these people, and he was over there showing them what to do, and he was over here encouraging those people. Bezalel was everywhere. He was leading. He was designing. He was teaching. He was correcting. He was encouraging. He was motivating. Bezalel was a hands-on leader. He was in the trenches with his troops, making, not asking them to do what he wouldn't or couldn't do. So the work continues until it is completed. Chapter 38, 22 and 23. "Now Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah, made all that the Lord had commanded Moses. Chapter 39 and verse 42. So the sons of Israel did all the work according to all that the Lord had commanded Moses. Chapter 40, verses 1 and 2. Moses sets up the tent, puts all the stuff in there. And then chapter 40, verses 34 through 38. Verse 33, Moses finished the work. Then the cloud, this is the Shekinah cloud, the visible symbol of God's presence. The cloud covered the tent of meeting. The glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle, and Moses was not able to enter the tent of meeting because the cloud had settled on it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And throughout all their journeys, whenever the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the sons of Israel would set out and so on. God accepted the works of their hands. God came and dwelt in their midst. And this was the point of every nail that Bezalel hammered and every piece of metal that Oholiab engraved was so that God would come and dwell. He did. And it was a blessing to future generations, the work of Bezalel and Oholiab. So we have the instructions on the mountain, the execution on the mountains, and right now you're asking, and it happens to be our very next point, what does this have to do with me? Because I said, Bezalel, Oholiab, and me. Well, first of all, for those who are believers, as for Bezalel and Oholiab, so God has a work for you to do. 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another. Or look at Ephesians chapter 4 with me. Ephesians 4. The work in the church of God is no way confined to the office bearers. Ephesians 4, verse 7 to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men, to each one of us. Verse 16, from whom the whole body, that is, Christ's body, the church, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies. So if you didn't have an elbow joint, your arm would fall off. And if you didn't have a knee joint, your, whatever this part of your leg, foreleg, whatever, would fall off. And if you didn't have a toe joint, every joint is necessary for the body to be what it is, according to the proper working of each individual part. How hard is it to run? Well, I mean, there's a whole bunch of bones and muscles and joints and tendons and ligaments that work together in perfect harmony, commanded by a bunch of nerve cells, like millions of them, and a bunch of chemical, electrical impulses, and all this is happening so the body can run. Every cell, every joint, every part is necessary. The Bezalels and the Oholiabs, along with the Moseses and Aarons, everyone has a work to do in the church of Christ, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Or we could look at 1 Corinthians 12, 4, 7, and 11, where it speaks again of each one is given a gift. So you're given a gift. And maybe you never really thought about it before because it wasn't high profile. But God's called you. And He's given you His Holy Spirit. And maybe it's to make, not to lead. Maybe it's to do some stuff over here instead of some stuff up there. But God's given to each part of His body a task or several tasks to do. The question is, are you doing it? Are you serving? Are you working for God? Are you doing the part that God has laid out for you, called you, equipped you, given you great enjoyment in doing? You say, I don't know what that is. Well, time to start the journey and discover that. Come and talk to an older believer, to the leaders in the church. Let's talk about it. What could you do? What should you do? What can you do? What is God calling you to do? But my question is, what are you doing now? God called Bezalel and Aholiab, and He filled them with His Holy Spirit so they could make the tabernacle and its furnishings to bless future generations. God has something for you to do. There are many different kinds of roles and many different kinds of service. There's the Moseses and there's the Aholiabs. And we need them all. Each is unique. Each is necessary. The ear is not the foot. But we need them both. Don't bury your talent. Don't live for yourself. Leisure is fine. Recreation is good. Your other work is important. But God wants you to serve Him. Are you doing that? Look at the difference one man can make, Bezalel. Because of Bezalel and his team, there was a tabernacle filled with the furnishings which told generations about the truths of redemption. Your efforts can help God dwell in the midst of His people. For believers, a word to all and then a word to unbelievers. A word to all, Bezalel and Aholiab highlight the dignity of laboring with our hands. God values the man who labors with his hands. There are a variety of gifts in the church, and every one is necessary. And we need our Bezalels and Aholiabs, and both in the church and in the world in general, at this time in history. Manual labor, craftsmanship, does not receive sufficient recognition and honor and respect in our day. Higher education and college are not for everyone. There is no shame in that. White-collar jobs are not the only kind of collars to wear. Knowledge workers aren't the only vocations worthy of respect. In Ephesians 4:28, Paul speaks of laboring with your own hands in order to give to others. Paul himself was a tent maker. And he said, these hands ministered to our needs. And he said, we toil working with our own hands. For those who work with their hands, they may experience the fulfillment that comes only through the artistry and creativity and dignity of working with your hands. Bezalel and Aholiab highlight the dignity of laboring with your hands. My final word is to unbelievers. If you are not a Christian, there's really only one work that you need to do. And it's not work in the church. And it's not work for the church. And it's not work so that people will see what a good boy you are. John 6:29, this is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He has sent. You need to see that Jesus, the Savior of sinners, is the principal matter in life, because your sin is the principal problem in life. You need to see that Jesus can save, and He'll save all who come. This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He has sent. Let's pray together. And Father, we pray that we may learn, that we may follow the examples of Bezalel and Aholiab, that we may serve You with joy during the days that You have for us. We pray that You may give us grace to long for the ability to serve you better and to serve you more. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.